Hello, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I am the Knight.
And I am Dr. D.
This is your weekly nerd podcast, where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week. In movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means, and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, I am the Knight. I am the Bat. That is all.
Explicit content warning.
Can't hear you.
May be over excessive.
What?
Hello.
Hello.
If you guys are not watching on Facebook Live, you cannot see the Knight and Dr. Doom.
Wait, did somebody just enter?
No.
No.
They're spreading the word about us.
Oh, thank you, Facebook.
Thanks.
So, alright, I can't do that voice the whole time. Alright, guys, hope everybody's having a great week. Like Dr. Doom over here said, if you're not following us on Facebook Live, you should definitely be doing that right now. Like, I know you won't, like, be able to, like, you know, see it, but go like our Facebook page and watch the video. It is hilarious. Hilarious, I tell you.
Alright, yeah, I kicked Dr. Doom out of my seat just now, so.
Oh, really?
Because I wanted you guys to be able to hear me better, you know, like, Dr. Doom is all muffled by his mask, and, you know, people need to be able to hear what we're saying, so.
Hopefully you guys can hear me.
Hopefully.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, do you have any stories this week?
I have a story from last week.
Do you? Interesting. Go ahead. Tell me. Tell me your story.
Yeah, so you were there. You were present. This happens to me a lot. We went to the local McDonald's. And
Wait. This is a good one, guys. Go ahead.
All right. So I have a long history with this McDonald's of them not giving me what I ask for. So, like, when they brought out mozzarella sticks, my first instinct wasn't, oh, fast food mozzarella sticks, those will be gross. I was like, oh, I should try those. So yes. I got them. And they didn't have any cheese in them, so I just had empty mozzarella sticks. Like, actual just breading, which was kind of unfortunate. Now
Do
they're
you
doing...
need me to serve some justice to McDonald's?
Yes.
I'm on it.
So... now they're doing all-day breakfast, which we're all aware of and happy about. So, you know, it was late at night, and I was hungry, and I didn't know what to get, and I wasn't that hungry. So I was like, oh, I'll just get a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle, because those are delicious.
Right.
So I ordered my bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle, and because I ordered it at, like, 8 at night, it took them, I don't know, 20 hours to finish it.
Right.
So after, you know, I was there for 3 days and 4 nights...
And a fourth fortnight.
They finally give me my food, and I drive off, and I open it to start eating it, and they didn't give me a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle. They gave me a McGriddle with bacon, cheese, and sausage on it, and no egg. Like, it's in the damn name of the sandwich, so how do you forget the egg? Or were they just like, guys, we're out of egg, let's sub it with sauce-wash.
I know, right? Dude, that was so funny. I'm not going to even lie.
Yeah,
I couldn't
Scott
stop
was
laughing.
Dying. And I think he whenever, was laughing
like,
so much.
Like, whenever something unfortunate happens to Christian, I tend to laugh.
Well, and I think it's
I'm
also
not a very
like,
good friend.
It's also because it's like, it's so typical. Like, it would happen, you know? Like, you would just expect that to happen.
Yes.
So, I don't know if you have any stories. You still hate Hayward, things like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah, my work has been having me go out to our Hayward branch, where I've been slaving away for 16-hour days and whatnot. So, not much has changed. I haven't had much time to do anything. At least my check is going to be big, so that's good.
Yeah.
Other details don't wish to really discuss at the moment. What else is new?
Nothing. Oh, I bought a TV.
Yes. Dude, that was hilarious. So last night, Christian, like, so the TV we have now, or with the TV we had,
was like all jacked up. Like whenever you'd start it, like the pixels would like, it'd be like freeze framing from like the last picture or whatever, and it just like take like 40 minutes to load and work properly. So Christian got tired of that, and he was just like, forget this, I'm gonna buy a new TV last night. So then, you know, us in all of our brilliant wisdom drove off in his Fiat to go get a 55 inch TV. And then we steadily realized after checking out and going to the parking lot with this very heavy TV, we're like, oh, wait, that won't fit. So, in my steadfast manner, I drove off in Christian's Fiat, came back to the stables, and picked up my own steed. I don't know. I was trying to tell it in a cool way. I don't know if that worked. Let me know.
No, it worked. It worked. It's all right.
All right. So, yeah, then I drove back in my car, and then we got it, and then we came back, set it up, and now... now we have an awesome TV again.
Yeah, that barely fits on the stand.
It's all right. Don't worry about it, dude. Just let it happen.
Remember when I got that desk and you were like, don't worry about it, and then my computer fell?
Okay, but some retard was just like, I'm going to keep hitting the table hella hard, and it fell over on you.
That's not why it fell over.
And I'm just saying, I'm also just saying, you did not put it all the way back like I had suggested either. You had it like... you know, even surfaced and stuff with like the top ledge. I suggested you push it all the way back and you're like, nah, it's good right here. And I was like, all right. And then what happened, fool?
It wasn't ever going to be good.
What happened then, fool?
I bought a new desk that works properly.
True.
That's what happened. I also started reading all Mark right. Waid's run on Archie Comics. Oh, it's trying to reconnect. Okay. Due to poor wireless connection, your broadcast has been paused. Consider moving to find a better spot or... oh, I know what to do. Scott's taking his mask off.
Yeah, I'm done with that. So. Dude, it like hurts my jaw to talk, dude. Oh, it's all right.
All right, guys, so if you're not watching Facebook Live and want to, you'll see two separate videos because I just had to end this one to get a better internet connection.
All right, much better. All right, guys. Now my jaw doesn't, like ache as I'm talking because I'm trying to talk against, like, freaking a latex mask and stuff. Right. So that's a thing. All right. So what were you talking about? I don't know.
Who cares? You want? Oh, yes. I started reading Mark Waid's run on Archie Comics starting in 2015. Nice. And it's very good. So go read it. Like, if you like Riverdale, you'll love this series.
Yes, which also, if you haven't started watching Riverdale, what the hell are you doing with your life? You should be doing that. Like, you need to, like, pause this podcast, go watch it, come back, listen to us, and then, like, comment and say, guys, you've changed my life forever. Or, you know, you could just be like, oh, thanks for the suggestion. You know, either one works, honestly. So, I mean, I don't know. I was going to share something, but then I decided against it. So we are going to move into the news.
Yeah.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
All right. Yeah, thanks. So we decided to stop Facebook Live-ing because something's wrong with the internet. So,
fuck off, internet.
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't put out the warning this time. So
I put out the warning.
Did you?
But I said we would cuss. So, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. In my Dr. Doom state.
Maybe it's because I couldn't hear you at all, dude. I was so hard to hear you. Like, because I had the headphones over the mask, and yeah. It was just like, it was blurring out stuff. I couldn't hear anything. I was just like, all right.
All right, guys.
Well, all right, from this point on, you know, cussing free zone. I didn't know that we were doing that. So, take it away, Christian, after you're done opening your loud can.
Yeah.
And murdering everyone's ears. Thanks, bud.
Anyway, so strap in, guys, because we got one really long article and then a bunch of short ones.
Sick, dude. So. I like short articles.
Marvel's Runaways has revealed casting for The Pride. Marvel Television announced the set of actors that will play The Pride on Hulu's Marvel's Runaways. The Pride, as fans of the original comic well know, represent a group of supervillains that, through their combined efforts, control crime on the West Coast. The Runaways are their children who, upon learning the secret of their parents, take off on their own. Jeff Loeb, executive producer, said, "The cast has come together in ways we couldn't have imagined, and we are thrilled to work with this outstanding group." Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, also executive producers, added, "The cast is an abundance of riches. We are so excited to have assembled our pride through the fate of humanity. We should be very concerned." Brian K. Vaughan, who, you know, is the co-creator of The Runaways, added, "Marvel's Runaways has enough great actors to support two shows, but I love that this project contains multiple generations of incredible talent all in one story." So here is the full list of people. Ryan Sands is playing Jeffrey Wilder. Ryan Sands from Hat Hair, The Wire. He's Jeffrey Wilder, like I just said. A man defined by the grueling path he's taken to achieve his self-made success. A hulking presence, Jeffrey can effortlessly shift from approachable father to intimidating strategist with his son, Alex. Angel Parker, she was in The People vs. O.J. Simpson and American Crime Story and The Strain. She's playing Catherine Wilder, a successful lawyer, is deliberate and calculating in both her words and actions, but when it comes to her family, she's fiercely loyal and a loving mother to her son, Alex. Brittany Ishibashi, from This Is Us, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. She is Tina Minoru, a perfectionist tiger mom. In her professional life, she is a brilliant innovator and ruthless CEO. Emotionally, she is less confident, often shying away from difficult conversations with her daughter, Nico, and careful to avoid explicit displays of her feelings. Her husband is going to be played by James Yagashi from Breakfast at Tiffany's on Broadway and Madam Secretary. He is playing Robert Minoru, a gentle and brilliant beta, the Woz to his wife's Jobs. Warm and feeling, Robert sometimes struggles with being married to a woman who so forcefully barricades her emotions while caring for Nico.
Nice.
Kevin Wiseman is playing Dale Yorks. Kevin Wiseman is from Hello Ladies and Alias. He's a beardy dad, core bioengineer, incredibly science-minded. He has a deep love for his family, but oftentimes falls short at knowing the right things to say to Gert. Bridget Brana, from Army Wives and True Colors, is playing Stacy Yorks, an absent-minded and professional bioengineer perpetually donning Birkenstocks in a messy bun. Stacy utilizes a progressive approach to her parenting style to Gert. Annie Wershing, as Leslie Dean, she's from Timeless and The Vampire Diaries. A complicated beauty is a poised and skilled leader, clear-minded, focused, and charismatic. Leslie draws in devoted allies and followers who are taken by her success and charm, particularly with her daughter, Carolina. Kit Pardue is Frank Dean. He's from Remember the Titans and Ray Donovan, a former teen star who rode a short-lived movie career and is now teeming with insecurity, floundering in his professional career as an actor. Frank is seeking to renew purpose in his life while being a father to Carolina. James Marsters, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, he played Spike, of course. He's playing Victor Stein, an engineer genius who may just save the world from itself. Electric cars, space travel, the military, and NASA both look to him for answers. As a father to Chase, Victor has lofty expectations for his son, and when they aren't met, his retribution can be fierce. Ever Carradine, from The Handmaid's Tale and Goliath, is Janet Stein, a perfect PTA mom. Harboring a brilliant mind of her own, she has made deep sacrifices for her husband's world-changing career, though she hides it for the well-being of her son, Chase. Janet longs for more from her life. Marvel's Runaways is executive produced by series showrunners, writers Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage, along with Marvel's head of television Jeff Loeb and Jim Troy. Fake Empire's Liz Rowinsky will produce as well, co-production with ABC Studios.
Sick, dude. Well done on that. That was a very long article. I don't think I'd been able to get through. I'd gotten like super pissed and just had you take over. So thanks for taking that over, man.
You're welcome.
All right. Another Marvel news. Michael Douglas confirms he'll be back for Ant-Man and the Wasp. Though it is largely a given, actor Michael Douglas has confirmed via Facebook that he will reprise his roles as Dr. Hank Pym for the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp. The actor also revealed that production on the sequel is set to begin in July. He posted an image on Facebook with the following statement, saying, "Getting ready to play Dr. Pym again in Ant-Man 2, shooting in July. Need to start growing the goatee now. Hashtag Ant-Man, hashtag Marvel." Well, thank you very much for the update.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Feller.
So, also, first details on Marvel's Secret Empire event series. So, they've been teasing the upcoming storyline for some time now, I guess. Marvel Entertainment has revealed the first official details on the upcoming Secret Wars event, which puts Captain America at the forefront. Written by Nick Spencer, with art by Steve McNiven, this series will spin out of the current Captain America Steve Rogers series, where it was revealed that the character's history has been altered and he has secretly been an agent of Hydra this whole time.
Whoa!
Steve, this was said by Senior Vice President Tom before he told ABC News, Steve has been kind of lining his dominoes up around the Marvel Universe to be able to make his move and bring about a Hydra revolution, a takeover. At the point of Secret Empire, they are ready to go. That's the moment we hit as we go in. He goes on to describe the series, issue number 0 out in April, as the worst day of the Marvel Universe, and revealing by the first issue of the event, the entire Marvel Universe knows who Steve Rogers really is. Chief Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso added, "We've just come off of Civil War II and Inhumans vs. X-Men, two big dark events that heroes fighting against heroes over somewhat defensible positions. This is very much an old-school story. You will know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. This is not heroes fighting heroes. This is heroes fighting a bad guy. We saw this moment as our chance to rally the entire Marvel Universe, which has been fragmented of late." I'm not excited about this event at all.
It's a very risky move for what they're doing.
They're saying we know who the bad guys and the good guys are, but I don't know if Captain America is a good guy or bad guy.
Well, I mean, they're rewriting essentially. They're saying, somebody went in time and basically rewrote who he is, and I think that story will play out as such, and then once they find out that, somebody had messed with time, they're going to try to somehow find a way back there to right the wrongs, essentially. Yeah. I think that's how that story is going to play out. I don't think you should necessarily give up or be angry at the fact that, the American Golden Boy is now a Hydra agent, meaning he's a bad guy.
Right.
I just think, everybody has to calm down and be open to new ideas and just really... be okay with the fact that, Marvel's just so successful and, just rely on your belief in Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to still read the event because, I read Marvel stuff. Yeah. So, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. In some DC news, Warner Brothers Pictures finds the Batman director in Matt Reeves following Ben Affleck's recent stepping down as the director of Warner Brothers Picture upcoming The Batman. The studio has today set a replacement. Variety reports that Matt Reeves, the helmer behind Cloverfield, Let Me In, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and the upcoming War for the Planet of the Apes, will be the Batman director. Affleck wrote in his recent statement, "There are certain characters who hold a special place in the hearts of millions. Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. Together with the studios, I've decided to find a partner in a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this, and we are making it, but we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to the project and look forward to bringing this to life for fans around the world." That is a quote from last week's.
Yeah, and both of these are. But
Warner Brothers Picture then added, "Warner Brothers fully supports Ben Affleck's decision and remains committed to working with him to bring a standalone Batman picture to life." Yes,
yes,
those
and
are
now
both
they're doing it, and Matt Reeves is your director.
Yeah, woo-hoo. So they basically just reiterated the same quotes. I don't know. That's so weird.
Anyway,
anyways, I don't even feel. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So
Matt Reeves, cool.
Sick one, bro.
We'll see. Final piece of news is the Iron Fist trailer. Did you watch it?
Man.
I know you watched it.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. I love Danny Rand. He's amazing. Can't wait for this movie. He beat the crap out of people.
I know.
It gave me
like a massive
stiffy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Rosario Dawson. I didn't think we knew she was going to be in this, did we?
I think we just always assume that sort of thing. I mean, she's been in every other title thus far, so why wouldn't they just bring her in? I mean, she's the grounding character to every one of them. So, essentially, she's the driving force. I mean, at this point, we don't know whether or not that any of these characters have any backstory with each other at this point, which we are safe to assume that they don't.
Right.
But I think Rosario Dawson, a.k.a. Night Nurse, Claire Temple, is the is the connecting force for the defender. So she is basically going to be the reason everyone comes together and forms right. the defenders. And I love that. I love that idea and like the cohesive nature of how they're building this universe. I think it's so exciting.
Definitely. Yeah. The only two characters that we know have had some form of history is Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, because they were in the show together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Rosara Dawson's been everything. And I think
what about what's her name? She was in the trailer.
In the trailer. Colleen Wing?
Yep.
Yep. Awesome. Yep. She looks cool.
Get it, son.
Get in.
Get in.
Yeah. I'm very excited for Iron Fist, guys.
It's trailer.
A month away now.
I give that trailer like a 9.5, man. It was pumped, dude. I was like, moing, moing, moing.
It was really amazing. I am excited for this show. Even Daniel, who hates everything that we like, said he's gonna watch it now.
Yeah, I don't think Daniel necessarily hates the stuff. He just loves to be a troll. So essentially, he waits to hear what we have to say about it, and then he's like, "Yeah, dude, I totally hated it." He just tries to piss us off.
You know what's funny is like Daniel, like when he's one on one or with us, you know, like he'll like fight back. But like when we're in shops, like we were last night, and we're just clowning on him so hard, he has nothing to say.
Yeah, he was like a defenseless little infant last night. It was so funny. We were just like destroying his entire life, clowning on him. You know, just some mate banter. You know what I mean?
I'm just sitting here playing Magic, crushing my opponent to death, and at the same time, like just effortlessly clowning on Daniel. It was amazing.
And Daniel's just like, man, when did Christian become so witty? I was like, oh, that's what happens. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Sorry, bro.
Sorry, dude. Yeah. So I think we should just get into our shows now.
So we only have 4 shows this week due to Gotham being on like a 17,000-month break. And so we only have our CW shows, Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep. And we're still talking about if we're going to discuss Legion, if we're going to discuss Riverdale moving forward. We haven't really decided yet, but we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, it's just an ongoing conversation. We just want you guys to realize we are taking those things into consideration due to, you know, the nerdy natures of the shows and stuff like that. And, you know, that is the realm that we deal within. And we're not, you know, trying to become a CW-centered thing. It's just they're the shows that are the most, like, cohesive manner to that, like, provide enough conversation for us to, you know, talk about.
Right.
So it's not that we don't like Lucifer. We don't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We don't like Legion. We don't like Riverdale. I mean, there's so many shows that we could talk about because they're nerd culture. I mean, hell, there's like at least like 15 shows out there right now that we could talk about because they're within the nerd realm. But you know, we have to pick and choose what we talk about and the best to give to you guys. You know, we want to make our conversations on this podcast good. You know, we don't want to be like, oh, how'd you think about the show? And you know, we fell into that lull. I'm not trying to get too much into it, but I do want to provide some sort of explanation for you as well.
Right. But yeah, you guys can reach out to us if there's anything specifically you want us to talk about or anything like that, and we'll take your advisement. So
yeah, I mean, we have no problem like doing like a season in review for things that we don't week to week cover. It's just these are the shows that we're covering at the moment. You know, we are going to take into consideration other people's advice. We're going to take into consider other shows. We just have to plan it out, really. So stay with us, guys, and we'll work everything out. And, you know, we're still fairly new as a podcast, and we're still trying to iron out all of our own details as well.
Yep, definitely.
So we're going to move straight into Supergirl for the first show of the week.
All right.
Alrighty then. So, getting into Supergirl Season 2, Episode 11, The Marshall Chronicles. A war Martian called Armac comes to National City with the intentions of bringing Magan back to Mars to be punished for her treason.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a pretty good synopsis for once.
Yeah. This episode, I feel like it was very, very good.
Yeah, I feel like Supergirl has finally found a great direction for them to go in and, like, really kind of, well, like, rounded out all of their characters. Yeah. I think something that, what was this? They were on CBS before, right? So I feel like the writers of CBS and stuff, they're still working on the show with the CW or whatever, but there's a, like, you know, that's more in the CW's own vision and direction. And you can tell through, like, the effects. You can tell through, yeah, the writing, the storyline, and where they're moving certain characters. Obviously, you know, moving Jimmy into the Guardian role was a huge move. And I honestly, I kind of like it. I just wish they would rename the characters.
It wouldn't have been Jimmy.
Yeah, like
when is Jimmy?
Yeah, I think they need to change that around, but I guess it's too far into it at this point. I think if the CW had control from the get-go, I think that they would have made it that way. But, you know, what is done, essentially.
Yeah, so...
But this episode, I thought it was good, man. I love the direction that the show is going, yeah, in. It was just another strong episode.
Yeah, everything from, like, the awkwardness of Kara with Mon-El to...
That stuff was great, by the
John
way.
John stalking Magan.
And then, like, almost, like, I guess, like, they're falling in love and stuff. And I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah, that was weird, because it's supposed to be, like, his niece, I guess, or whatever. But, like, I mean, I don't have any opposition to them falling in love. It's whatever. Like... She's going from her ex-husband, who is a white supremacist.
Yeah, essentially.
Like, he looked like a white supremacist, and the actions of the white Martians are white supremacists, so whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, John Jones is a very attractive green Martian.
Yeah, so what did you think about them not including Jimmy's character in the episode?
I thought it was interesting. I don't think, like, even though he wasn't there, it was still... present in a way, because,
yeah,
you know, because Carl was like,
and stuff
Carl
like
was
that.
Like, oh, you're going out with Guardian tonight or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you know, I have a calling as well, kind of thing. So I thought it was very interesting, and I think that even though I think Jimmy / Guardian will always have a presence now. He's the real deal now. He's not just going out trying to make a name for himself. Now he's an actual legitimized superhero.
Yeah, no, and I think it's a great thing, though, because, you know, we deal with so many shows, and, like, so often, like, we've had, like, instances of seasons and episodes where they're so, like, harshly, like, they're just badly paced and, like, constant of character storylines and stuff. It's just nice that the CW has figured out how not to overwhelm you with one character storyline, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, show like Gotham, they still struggle with that in their third season. But yeah, I do. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the episode, but I just wanted your opinion on that. And I thought I was like, oh, they're not going to show Jimmy in this episode. I was like, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, that's a good thing, though. You know,
yeah.
I don't view it as a bad thing.
No, definitely. So what do you think of Magan deciding to go back to Mars?
I thought it was, like, very inspirational, you know, because it would have been, like, the easy thing to, like, stay there and then, you know, stay with John. But for obvious reasons that they, you know, as writers and stuff, they would never let that happen.
Yeah.
It would just be, like, just too weird almost. And it's really open to interpretation whether or not Magan and John fell in love, or if it was
like a father-daughter thing.
Yeah, if it was just, like, almost like a family bond sort of deal. It really is open to interpretation. I interpreted it as, like, oh, wow, they're falling in love. Like, that's awesome. I thought it was a good thing, though. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then, like, the way, like, you know, her conviction with going through, with returning to Mars to go and try to find maybe a couple other good souls, even though she knows more than likely, as soon as she lands on Mars, that she'll be taken captive and be, you know, executed, essentially.
I
thought it was awesome. Like, it was so emotional, and who knows if we're ever going to see Magan again.
Right. And the fact that she did it, the reason she did it was because John inspired her to be better, to go back and do that. So, I thought it was also interesting. We learned, like, it's been, like, 300 years or something that she's been on Earth.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's a long time.
Maybe it's just like time passes differently outside of Earth. Who knows? I guess it's just, you know, it's really hard to say. But, you know, they use Earth concepts such as 300 years, you know, but who knows? What else? What do you think about, like, the old style of what is it called? Who committed the murder?
Clue, I guess.
Yeah, the old Clue scenario, trying to figure out who
it was. It was Wynn in the laboratory
with
the torch.
Dude, that was so funny. I was just like, I was like, oh man, they like do a sleight of hand in a way because the way Jean backed up from the fire immediately.
Yeah, they make it kind of seem like he was him.
But then you're like, oh, I wonder who it is. Then, you know, obviously the guy, you know, blaming everybody, you're like, oh, is it him? It's always the person who's the quietest usually about it all. And, you know, that person happened to be Wynn.
Well, and also Alex, who...
Yeah, I thought it could have been Alex as well. Those were my two guesses. More so Alex. I thought it was going to be Alex for sure.
It was.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So yeah. I was right.
Yeah, so... this episode had a lot of humor as well. Yeah. That was pretty good. So Kara's arc, I guess, a little bit of self-reflection talking to Marsh and Alex, I guess. That was good, you know, admitting that she was upset, but that was just her being immature in that. And then, you know, she's just, like, in love with Mon-El but won't admit it to herself.
Yeah, she's just in denial about how she feels.
And then he shows up with a different girl at the end of the episode. And that's what you get, Kara. That's what you get for lying to yourself.
Right. I mean, I feel bad for Mon-El in many ways. Like, women are so undecided, man.
I know. Dude, when I watched that, I was, like, thinking of you.
You got some interesting stuff going on. Maybe I'll share it another time, though.
Yeah. Do you have anything else about this episode?
No, just that it was such a good episode. I really enjoyed
it. I thought the effects on Kara flying in that were much better than...
That was my mention to their effects, too. You know, the noticeable difference from CBS to the CW network. I mean, just so obvious and whatnot. I mean, they just understand on how to... pull out their effects with the smaller budget. They just know what they're doing. So if I was, I think I would give this a 9.2 for sure.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So.
Like, it was just such a great episode. Like, the CW has just kicked into another notch, dude. Like, they are bringing every single show onto a different level every single week. Like, they're figuring everything out. Trust me.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we should move on then to The Flash. So, The Flash, Season 3, Episode 12, Untouchable. A criminal metahuman is causing people to decompose at an accelerated rate.
Sick. I mean, I guess it's accurate, but all right. Yeah. So, yeah. What'd you think of this episode?
I thought this episode was okay.
Yeah. For The Flash, not exactly up to its own standards. It wasn't a bad episode by any means, but I feel like to the rest of the week, It just wasn't as good as the rest of the shows, honestly.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode. You know, we got different concepts, like, you know, the way they stopped the bad guy was interesting with Wally's blood and phasing through him, you know. Yeah. Like, the phasing stuff was interesting, Wally getting trained, and then this guy coming from Flashpoint, essentially, to go after Joe and Iris and that. And I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like... In the space of comparing to the other shows during the week, it was still not really up to par. But for The Flash, this episode, I think, was just not very good as a Flash episode. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was an okay episode of television, but wasn't
the best. It's hard to say because The Flash has always in and itself been on just a completely different level than all the shows that we've always done. Like, it's so rare for us to go under 9, but I feel like it's going to happen this week. By any means, I don't think it was a bad episode. I really don't. And I do, like, I thought it was a good episode. It's just not as good as it usually is.
Right.
It was just, I don't know, it was something very different about it.
Yeah. I feel like this was a filler episode to get you to what's happening next. Well, in a couple weeks with Grodd.
Yeah, I'm excited for the two-parter for, you know, Grodd and whatnot.
Yeah, so I guess we'll talk about what the episode did, I guess. We established that Caitlin could be a hero with her powers. She did help save Iris's life by freezing her arm and controlling that aspect.
Yeah, with a moment of inspiration from a very unlikely source as well, Julian.
And they went out. They had a date. Julian? Yeah, Julian.
Okay, I was like, wait, did I just say the wrong name? I'm pretty good at this.
I enjoyed Barry talking about his mentors and his teachers with Wally and saying that, you know, I haven't been a great teacher to you.
Yeah.
Things like that. I thought that was very interesting as well.
Sisko was almost kind of non-existent, really, in this episode. Yeah. I thought Wally was exceptional in his development. I thought he was great,
yeah.
I think he's a great counterpart to Barry for, you know, a hero team-up, you know, sort of scenario. Where, you know, basically Barry is becoming the mentor, the more serious guy. Wally's the more carefree hero, very like charismatic and stuff of the such, much like Barry was when he first started. Like, remember when the Flash first started out and he was still trying to figure out his powers, and he got robbed by the guy.
Yeah, the first episode.
And he was like, he's like, oh my god, like, out of everybody you could have picked in Central City, you literally just hit the jackpot of like all bad luck and stuff. And, like, what happened to that version of Barry? It's like, oh, like, it's so crazy to think back. And whoa, like,
so much bad has happened. Yeah,
exactly. So he's like almost so jaded. He's become so jaded and cynical and very dark, and now Wally, or, you know, whatever you want, Wallace West, Kid Flash, whatever you want to call him, is coming in, and he's almost like that fresh of breath air that the show really needed again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sisko can only do so much to bring in, you know, the lightheartedness effects back into it. Like, Barry has become so jaded, as we just said, that the show is becoming very, very dark.
Yeah.
So
he's been betrayed by every mentor he's had.
Exactly.
He's witnessed people he loved die. He witnessed his girlfriend die.
Yeah.
And now he's,
I mean,
to
how
stop
could
that,
you
so.
Not be that? And I think at some point, you know, it's,
in the mistakes he's made, like, that's why he's so wary as well. Like, he changed the past so many times and created alternate universes, and now he's living in an alternate universe essentially, where Dante's dead and all this other stuff. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I find it interesting that, like, they're making it to where Wally seems to be more powerful than Barry, which, as we know, is very incorrect.
Yeah, they're making it seem like he's just going to be faster. Like, he's always...
Which is, like, impossible, because the Speed Force doesn't exist without Barry. Barry Allen, the event that Barry Allen became the Speedster created the Speed Force. We learned that in... Flashpoint? Was it Flashpoint?
Yes.
No.
Rebirth.
Yes, Flash Rebirth. We learned that in Flash Rebirth that without the event of Flash Barry Allen becoming the Flash, the Speed Force is never created, therefore never creating any other speedster ever. So, therefore, in that text of logic, he is always and will be, I mean, he has to train and unlock his powers or whatever, but he should and always be the strongest and fastest speedster. But now it's seeming that they're like, oh, well, Wally is, you know, his upward projectile is so high that, you know, he's the only one that can save Iris. Barry could never save Iris and stuff like that. And I was like, and you know, that's playing off of last week, and we should have talked about that, but it's coming up now. So, and, like, you know, you do see that with, like, you know, like, Wally had to be the hero at the end and stuff, you know, which I'm fine with. But I find that interesting. I don't know. Like, what do you think about that concept, them, like, essentially trying to say that Wally is going to be stronger than Barry? Or faster than Barry?
I don't mind them making someone out like Wally faster than Barry, because everyone's been faster than Barry. Zoom was faster than Barry.
Yeah.
Reverse Flash was faster than Barry. Like, I don't mind them doing that. I don't think it's necessarily an issue within the framework of the show. But we'll see, because Barry's always going to be better. Like, just like he proved in this episode, like, you know, when they first raced, you know, Wally's like, oh, I would have won if you, you know, but I don't know how to phase or whatever. And he's like, well, that's why you lost. Like, you know, it's like Barry's always going to have that experience. Barry phased a train.
Dude, I was waiting for you to finish so I could bring that up. Like, dude, how mind blowing was that? And
that was,
he was just like, dude, that was so epic, dude. How he phased the entire train through, like, a blockade of rubble.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my gosh, dude. This show is so good, but, like, I don't know. It's going to be hard to grade this one, I feel like.
Yeah, it was – so with, you know, something we don't see very often anymore, but they have to remind us occasionally that Barry has a job. So he's investigating in this episode. That was good to see.
good
to see you back at it. But,
good on you,
and mate. You mentioned this a while ago. Like, I think during the second season, you know, one of the things we talked about was – in the first season, they did, like, cool things where you saw how Barry's mind was working on a crime scene, And they just completely stopped doing that. Like, does that bother you? Like, would you want to see that again, huh?
Yeah, I would love to see that again. There's so many things that I think they've shied away from that they really do need to bring back into focus, because there is more to Barry Allen just being the Flash. There's the forensic and the hopeless romantic and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, bar none, it is the best show on television still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... But there's always room for improvements in every show, and I feel like those are some of the improvements, just working on the mechanics of who Barry Allen is versus just the Flash.
Yep. So, I mean, at the end of the episode, we see Jesse, her dad, Mr. Harrison Wells from Earth 2, was taken by Grodd.
So that should be interesting. So we're assuming that HR is going to meet Harrison Wells. How do you think that interaction could play out? Like, that should be so interesting.
Well, I think HR is hilarious. I think HR is going to be like, it's me. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then Harrison Wells is going to be like, who is this idiot? Why does he look like me?
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's going to be so funny. So, yeah, let's get to gratings.
I'd give this episode like a 7.5.
I'd give it an 8.0. I thought it was a good episode. Like, I don't think it was bad by any means.
No,
I think it was just below its own show standards. Like, and I guess it's kind of harsh to say, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. So let's talk about Legends then.
Like you said, getting into Legends. Season 2, Episode 11, Turncoat. The Legends travel to the winter of 1776 to protect George Washington during the American Revolution, but Sarah is forced to send out Nate and Amaya when things don't go as planned.
Yeah, when she gets shot.
Yes. She gets shot.
But she doesn't send out Nate and Amaya. Jax does.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Hey, what the heck?
Anyway, this was a very good episode of Legends, I think.
Dude, this show is getting better and better week by week. Slowly through, you know, just character development and doing all like the stuff they're doing. But I really feel like they've turned their page.
Since it came back.
Yeah, since it's come back, it's turned a new page and really is accomplishing what this show should have been all along. It should have been a mini Doctor Who where there's a lot of serious tones and stuff like that, but overall it's supposed to be a fun show, guys. And like, they tried to make it so serious before, where, you know, it was never really all that fun. Like, they had their moments here and there, but, you know, I think, you know, really essentially putting Rory into like a Sisko type role where he really does provide such a great tone to the show. Like, I don't know, it's just It's getting better and better. Like, I really, really enjoyed this episode.
Well, to be honest, like, this episode was a very serious and dark episode, but it was so well balanced with the humor of both McRory and Nate, who's like now one of the more comedy mule kind of guys as well.
And as well as Ray Palmer's like awkward comedy that he provides.
Yeah,
like, which Rory is like angry. But. So you kind of notice that, like, so there's different kind of comedies in this show. So you got. You have Rory's angry commentary comedy, you know, where he just says, like, funny, like, random stuff because he's angry. And then you have Nate, his intentional, like, smartass.
Yeah,
sorry. Like, and then you have Ray Palmer's, like, awkward comedy where he's just, like, he's observing something and he says something funny. Like, not even really, like, really realizing. He's just an awkward guy. Like, it's funny.
Mick Rory's comedy reminded me of Renee from this week's Arrow. He's like, did you say I have ass mouth?
Did you say I have ass? We'll get to Arrow in a second, though.
Yeah.
But no, bar none, dude. I swear, like, that opening credits, like, the best one they've ever had. Like, I think that they should go with that. Like, they should keep that. That was so funny, dude. And, dude, how funny is it that Rory has this monument?
Yeah, that's great.
I thought it was hilarious, dude. But yeah. I thought it was great.
More on the comedy side, Nate got his sexy time.
Ooh, the sexy time with Maya.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But in all seriousness, like, this episode was pretty serious. Like, Sarah got strangled to death.
Yep.
Jax
almost killed Rip.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, very, very serious. But like,
I like that. I like how much more prominent Jax has become in this team. Like, I think I think that guy's a really good actor. Like,
same here. I love that they're making people step out of like their character roles and exceeding the boundaries and limits of their characters and stuff, such as Jax having to step into the leader role, Stein having to do doctor work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, by the way. No, it's all good. I realize I did that.
No. So do you think it was a mistake? I think it was, to let Rip leave with that part of the spear.
I mean, what could they have done?
I mean, could have shot him in the knee.
True.
But
yeah, what the hell are they? Oh, but then the red coats were coming. They would have to fight them. He probably would have got away anyways. I mean,
yeah,
all that stuff. But
are we given to understand that the thing that Firestorm uses is what lets them merge? Like, I thought they could merge before without it. That was just the thing that allowed them to separate.
They can merge with it. What are you talking about?
Remember, because they couldn't merge because like they're like, oh, the EMP turned off the thing. They tried to merge. And they wouldn't let him.
Oh. I don't remember.
That was awkward.
I don't know. I guess that is a catalyst for them.
After Sarah got shot, they're like, oh, we can merge and Firestorm can get the bullet out, turn the fought, whatever, you know? And then like they try to merge and it's like, oh no, the power's out, so we can't. It's like, oh, that's awkward. Anyway, I enjoyed the little family thing at the end.
Yeah, that was great.
But yeah,
I thought it was like weird timing though. Like it was like a Christmas episode. Yeah. And I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, that's very.
It's February. I was like, Christmas is over.
What's going on here? I thought the whole George Washington stuff, you know, that's just like a subplot line or whatever to move the story along. But I thought it was so good and witty, funny stuff. Yes, you know what
so
I mean?
Well done.
Like,
and they explored like real themes, you know, like unlike the episode that they did in like the Civil War. That was just so corny, and like they tried to address real themes about like slavery and things like that, but it was just so corny. It was just so awful. Like this episode, they managed to do it in a way that wasn't corny or awful.
Yeah.
And you know, what does it mean to be an American kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought this episode was very good.
Yes. So. I thought it was great as well. We move into grades. What's your grade?
9.2.
9.5.
9.5 from the Scotty T boys.
Giving out the generous grades this week.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the last show of the week.
All right, read it. Read it now.
All right. Arrow Season 5, Episode 12, Bratva. A mission sends Team Arrow to Russia, where Oliver encounters an old friend. Who's this old friend, you say? Anatoly.
I love Anatoly. He's amazing.
Dude, me
He's
too.
Great.
I love that guy. So, what'd you think?
This is a good episode.
Another
I liked
good
it a lot.
Episode.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, bro, when I said CW's kicking it up, I meant it, bro. They're kicking it up to another level with every single show, every single platform, every week.
Yes.
Let's get it, bro.
So the news lady is back, Susan Williams. She's been gone for a while. I guess we should just talk about her whole arc, right? You know, Oliver got his sexy time as well. So she pretty much knows he's the Green Arrow.
Yeah, pretty much.
So is she just using him? Does she actually like him?
Yeah, I know. It's very confusing. Like, is she doing it just to get close to him in order to trick him to get, like, the biggest scoop ever? I mean, what's going on? What's really going on?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? But you get more insight into what happened with Oliver and how he left the Bratva and how now Brown Cow, he's coming back. Yeah, sorry, I had to throw that out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just say random stuff, man.
Yeah. He was Bratva.
He was Bratva.
He's like, I can't be a gangster anymore, Anatoly. I'm the Green Arrow.
For real. He's like, I have other interests.
Yeah.
Interesting. But no, I like how the flashbacks like really connected in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, I think they're going to, right? Because now it's like this is his last year on the island.
Yep.
His last. Well, he's not even on the island. Let's be honest.
So what happens now? Like, so when this year ends, do they just start showing flashbacks of season one?
I don't know. Maybe because
That would be the dumbest thing they've
probably,
ever done.
That's probably what they'll do. Because Arrow's probably going to fall into a massive hole again next year.
Probably. This season's been excellent, dude. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this season.
So, what did you think of Felicity in this episode?
Dude, I thought she was so great. I was like, man,
she
yes!
became like the freaking Ice Queen, dude.
Yeah, dude. But she was like, I told him what he had to hear. Like, I mean, I don't fault her or, you know, for, you know, even or fault the writers for writing her that way. Yeah. I thought it was clever. I thought, you know, her getting back to her tech ways is a good thing. Like, yeah. I love the way they're moving her character.
Yeah, and her and Marina from The Magicians are going to take down the world. So, Renee, man.
He's so funny, dude.
He's great.
What'd he say again?
Yeah, he's like, you say I have an ass for mouth, or something like. Or he's like, you have a ass to mouth, or I don't know. Quinn said something about a smart ass mouth.
Yeah,
he's like, you got a smart ass mouth, and he's like, I don't know, but did you just say I have an ass for mouth?
yeah, Renee's hilarious. I love his character. I hope he never leaves our team.
Yeah, he's great.
He's, like, become, like, one of my favorites.
He was
persons.
Great, like, grilling Quentin to prepare him.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And then,
it was intense,
and then when he, you know, he talked to the reporter and, like, pretty much told him the story of how his life changed because Quentin Lance helped him as a kid, which I guess Quentin didn't remember, probably because he was an alcoholic.
Probably.
And then he's, like, in that context, after that context, and then he's, like, nobody's perfect. I was like, man, that resonates. That was great.
Does resonate for sure, for sure, for sure. Interesting.
Yes. So what did you think of the whole Oliver Queen idea, kind of saying, you know, like, be better than me?
I liked it a lot. You know, I think the new canary person, I forget her name, but
Dinah.
Yes. Oh yeah. Haha. Dinah. So I don't know, like, I think, you know, the way she, you know, basically put it to Oliver, saying, you know, just because Prometheus says it's true doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to move past and not let other people define you, essentially.
Yeah. She said, don't let your past be your anger. You know,
that was strong. That was a strong message.
She was the voice of reason.
And then, like, Diggle's going all freaking, like, commando.
Dude, he was crazy in this episode. I don't know what Diggle was up to, dude, but he was, like, on cocaine or something, like.
He was like, wah.
He's like,
yep. So, what'd you think of, like, the interactions between Oliver and Anatoly?
I love Anatoly and Oliver.
I do, man. I think Anatoly's just so funny, dude.
Yeah, he's like, you are my favorite American now.
He kept saying that to everyone, dude. Yeah. It was so funny, dude. I was like,
he's like,
yes!
now you my favorite American.
No, dude, but how sad is it? Like, Ragman and
stuff?
Yeah,
Rory's
like,
leaving the team,
like,
dude.
No, dude, that's so lame.
He saved Russia.
We do it for Mother Russia.
Dude, I like Rory a lot.
I do, too.
Like,
I think he's like a... I like each character in their own different way. Like, I think, like, the way that Oliver assembled this team was just brilliant.
And blank Evelyn, dude. Who cares that she's gone?
Yeah, I hope she dies in a fire.
Yeah. And I like Dinah. I think she's a good addition to
this
team.
So, do you think eventually Oliver and her might, you know, go there?
Yeah, after Susan Williams breaks his heart.
Yep. Yeah, because you know that's going to happen. Like,
whoa,
why
whoa,
not?
What? Can you tell me about this tattoo? Blank off, girl.
It's so weird, though, because, like, how can you ever, like, really, like, move past, like, Oliver and Felicity? You know what I mean? Like, it's just so, like, he was, like, going to marry her. And she, like, you know, decided to be a something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She's one of those things that aren't loyal.
Yeah. Yeah, what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very sad about Ragman leaving. What would you grade this episode?
I would grade this, like, 8.9.
An 8.9. I gave it a 9.4.
That's all right.
It's a good episode.
So, it's that time of the podcast where we choose winners and losers of the week. All right. So, surprisingly, the loser of the week for me is The Flash. That has never happened before.
Never.
That has never happened before. But the winner, Legends of Tomorrow. I don't think that's ever happened either.
Yeah, this is a new world. It's a whole new world. We can't sing.
It's all right. I don't care.
Yeah. We don't care.
P-I-M-P.
Yeah. My winner was Arrow.
Nice. And loser?
And loser, unfortunately, was the Flash.
Gosh, who would have seen it coming?
But to be fair, if we were still talking about Agents or Lucifer, one of those, probably not Lucifer, would have been the loser. Because
that's a great show. but yeah, so that's all we have for our shows this week. You know, it's time for the usual spiel of, you know, follow us on all our social media, guys, because you get cool features such as Facebook Live on Facebook. Periscope will go straightly to Twitter and
tweet little birdie.
And Instagram Live is, of course, on Instagram. Great ways for our fans, you guys, our listeners, to connect with us, and you kind of get to see a little sneak peek of, you know, what we kind of do here at MBR, you know, and beyond that, it's a great way for you guys to communicate with us. So we really do urge everyone to follow us on all of our social media, you know, because we're a great time. We have some shout outs to make as well. So Nerd Variety Podcast, another podcast for nerd things, go check them out. They're great guys. You can find them on iTunes and go like their Facebook page and their Twitter. I don't know how active they are on Twitter, but they do have one. You can also find them on podbean.com. Make sure you guys go check out Serena. Sorry. She is our local Sacramento Twitch streamer. Also a friend of ours, a really great gal. She streams a variety of video games. Just make sure you guys go follow her. It's twitch.tv/ChiStar. It's C-H-I-I-S-T-A-R. ChiStar.
Do it.
She also has a Facebook and Twitter as well, and Instagram. So you can go follow all those things. If you guys do decide to subscribe and follow her Twitch account, make sure you let her know that the Nerdy Boys sent you her way. Yeah, cool. Shout out to Reality Comics, social media for nerds. You can find a link to their stuff on our website, which you guys should already be, you know, looking at right this second. www.nerdyboysreviews.com.
Yeah.
Any other shout outs?
Nicholas J, our dude.
That's my dude. That's my boy.
Swell lad.
Nicholas J, my boy. Yes, our resident Sacramento fanboy on Twitter. Thank you so much. Nah, I don't mean to put it like that. But no, thank you for being such a great listener and such a great follower. Always interacting with us. Always supporting us. We really do appreciate you. You loyal. I like that.
Yeah.
Another one.
Also, Lego Batman came out this past week.
Yes.
So
we're going to be watching that sometime soon.
Hopefully today.
Hopefully maybe today, depending.
Still pretty early.
Maybe we'll watch it. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all we got,
That's all we got for you this week. Stay tuned for next week when we'll be back with probably a bit of news and just two shows.
Yes, because every other show except for Supergirl and Arrow are on a break.
A 1 week break, apparently.
Yeah, and then you got Gotham on like a 3 month break. Ridiculous.
Maybe, not promising anything, maybe we'll use next week as an opportunity to talk about Riverdale a little more.
Yes, it could be an interesting thing. And then that could also be a gateway, you know, you let us know whether or not you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's all we got for you this week, guys. We're wrapping up, so
yeah. We are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we only got one simple message for you, and that's stay nerdy, boys.